All right, so this is the last one of the day, but could be the best one of the day. I don't know.
We'll see.
It really depends on Frank. So Stop Time, Evan Brewing, Dinah Washington. Here we go.
Hello, everybody. Another controversial figure right now. Born in 1924 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, Miss Ruth Lee Jones was born to two African-American parents who were struggling in the South. So as a young child, they did what a whole lot of black folks in the South did. They made that migration up north. They called it the Great Migration. It probably would have been late 20s, just before, just around that big old stock market crash. I don't think they worried about the stock market. I think they worried about meat and potatoes. But they ended up in Chicago. And of course, the Lord will make a way. That was always the way Southern blacks dealt with all adversity. And so she grew up in a church. And she learned to play piano very, very early in her life. Was a great little singer. And while she was still in elementary school, she became the chief accompanist, pianist, for the church choir. That's right. St. Mark's Baptist Church in Chicago. We'll come back to that church a little bit later. But she grew up there. And she did everything she was supposed to do. Directing choirs, singing in choirs, doing little concerts here and there. But she was also listening to a whole lot of popular music out there, that jazz music. Her mother didn't approve of that, but she did it anyway. She would sneak and do it. And she entered talent shows, and she won one at 15. 15 years old, she wins this big talent show in Chicago, and people are talking about Ruth Lee Jones. Oh, what a name, Ruth Lee Jones. Have you ever heard of her? We'll get to it in a minute. She's performing as Ruth Lee Jones, and she's performing at little clubs here and there. Even the Downbeat Club, which is a part of the Sherman Hotel, she performed there with none other than Fats Waller when she was still a teenager. Oh, yeah. Ruth Lee Jones had it going on. That's what I said. She had it going on. Uh-huh. But she also was playing at the Three Deuces. And one of her friends, which was a real jazz club, this was straight up jazz. And one of her friends said, "Hey, you won't believe who's in town, honey." Say, "Who?" "That Billie Holiday girl. She in some kind of trouble, so she had to get out of New York." She probably had lost her cabaret car. One of the few times they took it from her, or many times they took it from her. She was in Chicago trying to make a living because she couldn't make a living in New York. And she's singing at the Garrick Lounge. Oh yeah, part of the Sherman Hotel, I think. While she's going there to see Billie Holiday, they ask her to sing a song, and she did, I understand, or something like that. And the owner went, "Whoa, my God. Okay, I need to hire this girl, because she can go." So for the next year, Billie Holiday sang downstairs in the big room at the Garrick, and Ruth Lee Jones sang upstairs in a smaller room. So she was getting a lot of the overflow from Billie Holiday's. And when people are comparing you to Billie Holiday, the greatest of all time, you better be on point. And she was. Oh, she was. And finally, Joe Sherman, who was like, you know, the manager, he said, "You know, that Ruth Lee Jones, that name ain't gonna hurt you, baby. you need a better name than that. I'm gonna come up with something for you. Okay? Yes, sir. Okay, I'll come up with something for you. So he came up with the name Dinah. Whew. Dinah Washington. That sounds a whole lot more sassy than Ruth Lee Jones. Ruth Lee Jones okay for gospel or the blues, but not for jazz and eventually pop and everything in between. So now Ruth Lee Jones becomes Dinah Washington at the Gary, singing upstairs from the great Billie Holiday, who's singing downstairs. Lord have mercy, how does it get any better than that? Well, let's see what happens next. The word gets around. There's a little girl that can sing her butt off, and she got the nerve to be singing upstairs while Billie Holiday is singing downstairs. You need to go check her out. So one night, the great band leader and vice player, Mr. Lionel Hampton, comes in to check it out. He goes, yeah. Uh-huh. Well, he may have had a female singer with his band at that time. But in a very short period of time, he offered the former Miss Ruth Lee Jones, now known as Dinah Washington, a gig fronting his band. And who knows, if her name had still been Ruth Lee Jones, he may have said, no, I can't have no Ruth Lee Jones in front of my band. But Dinah Washington sounded great, and she sounded great as a vocalist, so he hired her, and Ruth Lee Jones hits the big time, baby, traveling the country, Atlanta Hampton, doing her thing, singing that jazz, doing it all, baby. How I say doing it all? Doing it all, baby. Oh, yeah. And, you know, Atlanta Hampton, he did some blues. He's a Southern boy. You can call Indiana what you want to. I call it the South. They act like they're in the South. Gotta be the South. So, Lionel did some blues songs. He was recording for Keynote Records at that time. He did a couple songs about mean, evil girl. And Ruth Lee Jones delivered that one pretty well. She knew how to do that. And then Big Salty Papa, he got the bad female and the bad male, and she delivered that. They were both hits. They were both hits. But evidently the people at Keystone, they were dealing from both sides of the deck, and they went out of business. So she saw her time to make an exit. And she did, no recording contract. And she ain't really got to stay with Ham's band because she wanted to diversify and do different kinds of stuff. So she left and signed with Mercury Records as a solo artist. And her first tune, believe it or not, was with one of her early mentors. Remember she played with Fats? Well, she did his Ain't Misbehaving for her first solo recording, and it was a hit. Yeah. Now, Fats, he was on the cusp of things. He was jazz, but not really jazz. He was pop, but not really pop. He was blues, but not really blues. He was kind of a novelty act, but not really a novelty act. He was a little bit of everything. Genius is what he was. And as we're going to find out, Dinah Washington's a genius too. Because as soon as that one went, she tried a couple of other more popular tunes. And they became hits. And she went, all right, I see the light. If I can do more of this R&B thing, I can make a lot more money. And with R&B, you ain't got to make a full record. You can just make a full album with 8, 9, 10 tunes. You can just release one record with 2 tunes on it, front and back, and you're good to go. So she started these R&B recordings. They said between 1948 and 1950, she had 16 top 15 recordings. She was clearly the most popular female singer any race in America in the late 40s, early 50s. And then she started doing tunes that cross over. What do we mean cross over? White folks are buying your music more than black folks are as much. Yes! So she would have tunes that would be number one on the R&B chart and number five on the pop chart. Uh-oh. Now we really got some money because we're only 10% of the population, but that's 90%. And when you are number five on the hit parade where 90% of the people are, you got some money, honey, baby. Matter of fact, there's a place I read somewhere in one of my sources that said at one point she was making as much as $15,000 a night. Oh, the girl was bad. She was doing it. And she kept on and 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 on with these hits after hit after hit after hit after hit. 25, I think. Top five hits R&B. Maybe 10 on the pop charts. Oh, yeah. She's the first real crossover artist. Big time. And the thing is, while she's having the greatest success with her pop music, recording even country and western tunes and making them pop hits, even soul hits, she's taking country western tunes, re-recording it and making them soul hits, R&B hits. How is that? Well, country music comes from the South, white folks. Soul, R&B comes from the South. These people mix all the time. They live right there together. So we heard what those white folks were singing and we liked some of those songs, but it sounded a whole lot better when Dinah Washington was singing it. Oh yeah, we go buy it. Boom, here's some more money. Oh, she is so popular. She is just whatever she wants to be. Tony Bennett said that even though Las Vegas was said to be segregated in the 50s, that unannounced, Miss Washington would just show up to his gig in Vegas when she had a break. Just show up with two suitcases. And she would stay for 2 weeks and sell out every night she performed, although she wasn't even supposed to be there. Say the young kids loved her. And maybe that's why she got a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Award, a Legacy Award in 1993, because she is one of the most powerful figures in the development of rock and roll from R&B. We're talking about Ruth Lee Jones again, Dinah Washington. Oh yeah, she got it going on. Now, let's continue to go with her because she is picking up steam. In 1960, she goes out to LA and she performs in a cavalcade of jazz festival in Wrigley Field, 16,000 people, and she tears them up. The festival ended early only because Lionel Hampton's band came out on the stage, and when they started playing Flying Home, a riot broke out. People just went crazy, dancing and pushing and shoving, and they ended the festival early because we're talking jazz. Causing a riot that rock and roll was causing 10, 20 years ago. Yeah, jazz, baby. And she did not go back there for another 12 years. And when she did, she had her number one hit, both pop and soul. What a difference a day made. What a difference a day made. Oh, that's beautiful. I remember hearing that as a kid. Didn't know anything about Dinah Washington, but I knew that song was happening, and whoever that singer was, she was, ooh, happening. That's right. So she's also doing jazz. She's doing pop and she's doing jazz. She's doing R&B and she's doing jazz. She has stopped doing gospel, but she kept the gospel in her music. Listen to me, we're talking about a genius. This woman was a genius. And her voice, they said it had to be a gift from God, so clear. her vocal so clear, her voice so clear, but then her diction was absolutely perfect, which also really, really made her so important to listeners, because you could actually hear exactly the lyrics she was singing. You understood what she was saying when she was singing, and that made it even more powerful and impactful. Now, she had another life. She didn't get along with her mother, because her mother wanted her to stay in the church and just sing gospel. Stay in the church and just sing gospel. And although she bought her mom a big old house out in the suburbs and paid for it and took care of everything, and although she paid for Christmas every year, and although she did everything she could not get along with her mom because of all the drinking and all the husband, too many husbands, mom though. Mom only had one, and when he left, she didn't go out and get another. And Dinah was laying with her sixth husband. You may know him, the older people may know him, Dick Night Train Lane, one of the greatest football players of all time. 17 interceptions in his very first season, I think, with the Chicago Bears. That's how they met, Chicago. Anyway, it seems that she had insomnia. And like a lot of women that had access, she had sleeping pills, barbiturates, which were commonly prescribed in those days. And evidently she had two different types. And when she went to sleep, those two types had a fight. And she lost. And she died in her sleep. Here's something you need to know. This was December 14th. Just before Christmas. But by December 14th, she'd already bought, paid for, and wrapped all the gifts for her family. Every single person. She'd already wrapped it, labeled it, had it ready to go in her home. Not in their home, in her home. So that Christmas, just a few days after her funeral, Dick invited her entire family, mother, sisters, everybody, cousins, you know, nephews, nieces, come on by. Let's celebrate Christmas here, big dinner, everything, open all the gifts that Ruth had left for you all, or Dinah, however you want to speak of her. And they had a wonderful celebration, because this was her heart. This is who she really was. She was a very giving person. And I think that warm heart came through her music, which endeared her to everyone. Whether you were a pop person or an R&B person or a blues person or a jazz person, that heart endeared her to you personally. She sang her heart out. Her voice was like a gift from God. And she was the most popular singer of the 40s and 50s, and her music lives with us right now. Everybody say, sing it again, Dinah. Sing it again, Dinah. Sing it again, Miss Washington, who called herself the Queen of the Blues, because from the blues came jazz, and from jazz came R&B and rock and roll and pop and everything else. So when she called herself the Queen of the Blues, she let you know she was the queen of all music derived from the African American experience, starting with her little time at the St. Mark Baptist Church, where she played as a child. And it was the St. Mark's Baptist Church where she was funeralized. Everybody say, sing, Dinah. Thank you very much. What a difference a day made.